Number of guests with us this morning. We're honored by your presence, and we hope that you enjoy this time of fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, and of course, a time of worship to God above. The text this morning, of course, is part of the story of Jacob. You'll recall the twins, Jacob and Esau, Esau being the older by just a few minutes, but Jacob is the one who actually got the birthright, either by hook or crook or some other way, but he was able to get the birthright. He had fled from his brother Esau and was gone from home for many years, took a wife, Leah, thought it was her sister Rachel, honeymoon, wrong woman. So he agrees to work for his uncle Laban again for 7 more years to get another, the one he wanted anyway, and so he got Rachel. And then Leah started having children. She had 6 children in all. Rachel has no children, so Rachel says, look, take my handmaiden and take her as your wife and have children in my name for her. Well, Rachel's handmaid has 2 children. And then, well, Leah, not to be outdone, well, here, take my handmaid too. And so now he's got 4 wives and has 2 children by her. And finally, Rachel has a child. And his name, of course, is Joseph. And Joseph, because Rachel was the wife that he wanted, this was the wife of his love. And so Joseph was naturally his favorite child. Well, as time goes by, after the incident with at Bethel, or as the Jewish pronunciation is Beth-El, house of God is the literal meaning of Bethel. But at this place where Jacob set up this pillar of stone as a memorial to this place, to this time when he met God, he then journeys on, and Rachel is about to have her second and last child. His name would be Benjamin. But we'll get to that in just a moment. I want to tell you that May and June, typically in our part of the United States, is called the decoration season. It's a time when throughout the South, cemeteries and memorial gardens are covered with flowers as loved ones remember those who have passed on. And that is something that is older than we think it is. It goes back a lot farther. And I'm not talking just decorations, but having these places where our loved ones rest, where their bodies rest, and having stones erected in their honor to remember them. And so here Rachel is. She's about to have her second child, but it's a rough, rough childbirth. It is so difficult that Rachel ultimately dies as a result of this childbirth. In Genesis 35, continuing the text that we read, that was read a moment ago, verse 16 beginning, we pick up there. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also. It looks like the baby is going to make it." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. Benoni, however you want to say it, is translated "son of my sorrow." But his father, Jacob, did not call him that. He called him Benjamin. And so Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem, okay? And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. The pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. This was a headstone. It was a tombstone. It was a memorial to Rachel. It was a way of remembering not only her life, but where her body was lying buried, waiting for judgment day. Jacob did this as a memorial to his beloved wife. There are many memorials in Scripture. In Exodus chapter 12, we find the night before the 10th plague, the children of Israel, the Hebrews as they are called at that time, held in Egyptian bondage. Egypt has suffered through 9 plagues, but the 10th is coming. And you remember the story of this very well. But God says on the 14th day of the first month, and this month will be the first month of the year for you. God changed the Jewish calendar because of this event. He said, this is going to be the first month for you from this day onward. And he said, and on the 14th day of this first month of the Jewish calendar, Israel was going to commemorate the night of the 10th plague in Egypt. And that was called the Passover. For the destroyer, and that's all he is called. Some say the angel of death. Others say it was Gabriel or what. I don't know. That's speculation. The Bible calls this the destroyer. That the destroyer would pass over the house of anyone where they saw the blood of the lamb that was spread upon the doorposts and the lintel, the headpiece across the door. That wherever they saw the blood of the lamb, this destroyer saw it, it would pass over that house. And thus the Passover was born. And God instituted this Passover as a memorial to the night that the Lord passed over Israel, sparing their lives. And verse 14 says, so this day, Exodus 12, verse 14, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Exodus 13, verses 8 through 10. And you shall tell your son, this is after they get out now, you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt, and you shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. By the way, this year, Passover, was April the 14th, and it goes for 7 days. It starts at sundown on the 14th of April this year. It changes each year because the Jewish calendar is not the same as ours. But Jews to this day still keep the Passover, at least we'll say faithful Jews, if there are those. Obviously, these people do not understand that Jesus is the Son of God. They reject that. There are, however, Jewish people who became Christians that still celebrate the Passover, and it was something that was never intended for us to celebrate because we were not the Jews, and we were never victims of this captivity in Egypt. But even there is some argument to be made that the Jews should even now keep the Passover, remember the Passover, because of what God did for them and because of the wording of this text, that it will be an everlasting ordinance that you will do this throughout your generations. They were going to keep the Passover. It was a memorial that God had set up. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. See, now they're coming into the land of Canaan. They were going out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, and the Passover was set up the night before they left Egypt. And it was to remember that. Well, now they've gone through Egypt. They've gone through the 40 years of wilderness wandering. They're now crossing Jordan to go in and take the land of Canaan. And as this is happening, it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan from the place where the priests' feet stood. They stood with the Ark of the Covenant, the waters of the Jordan River divided, and the people crossed over on dry land. So he says, you take these stones from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from each tribe. Joshua said to them, come over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes in the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? What is the significance of this pile of stones right here? What does this mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Memorials. Well, you know the children of Israel did that. They did what was told, what they were told to do, and the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was borne by the priest, and they crossed the Jordan River. The stones were set up in the place where they lodged, just like they were told to do. And the Bible ends, verse 9 says, and they are there to this day. Now, of course, this day being when Genesis was written, Moses is writing in the book of Exodus. Moses is writing the book of Exodus, and so he says they're there to this day, because all of this has taken place years after the events, but before Moses' death, they are there to this day. We commemorate and remember events and accomplishments. The Washington Monument is a memorial to the life of our first president. The Lincoln Memorial, the Lincoln Monument, is a monument, a memorial to the life of Abraham Lincoln, the Jefferson Memorial, and all of these. We also remember tragedies with memorials. There is the 9/11 Memorial in New York. We have phrases that have become memorials. Remember the... Somebody finish that. Remember the... Ooh, Sabbath. That's good, but that's not it. Alamo. Yeah. That just jumps out. I mean, and we're not even Texans. Well, some of you may be, I don't know. But you know, we remember, these memorials remember the Alamo. And after the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, December 7th, 1941, President Roosevelt the next morning, Franklin D. Roosevelt, he condemned the heinous act of what has become one of the most famous memorials or in the history of this country. When he said these words, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. And if you are a history student, you have heard those words before. You may have even heard a recording of his speech. If you have studied history in school and you've gotten to the point of the World Wars, you have heard or read this speech, this phrase. It is one of the most famous phrases in the history of our country. This is a date that will live in infamy. And then, of course, the battleship Arizona is a memorial to the sailors that died on that battleship there in Pearl Harbor. Their bodies are lying there inside the hulk, the remains of that battleship to this day. It is a memorial to them, a monument to them. And for our beloved departed, we have marked their graves with headstones and markers. It is regarding that the observance of Memorial Day will happen tomorrow. Now, Memorial Day differs from Veterans Day. I didn't know this for years. I just thought, we got two. That's interesting. Veterans Day honors all of our servicemen and women, past and present, that have ever served in the military. That's what Veterans Day is. So if you are a veteran, Veterans Day is for you. But Memorial Day is not for you, even if you are a veteran. You know why? Because you're hearing me say it. Memorial Day is a day that honors all of our fallen comrades, our fallen heroes, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, men and women that have given their lives in the service of our nation, that have fallen in battle, or in a theater of war, regardless of whether it was a battle or not. Those who have died and sacrificed their lives in the service of this nation, they make possible not only the obtaining of our freedom all the way back to the Revolutionary War, but also to the maintaining of our freedom. And so Memorial Day, which we will celebrate tomorrow, we will observe that day tomorrow. And I hope that you read the bulletin, the article in the bulletin about that. But we will observe this day tomorrow, and it is to honor, to remember those fallen countrymen who have given their lives in service to this nation. That is something we remember at this time each year. And of course, today for us as Christians, the greatest memorial of all, of course, is the Lord's Supper, a living memorial to the death of Christ. We remember the price that He paid to save us. He was betrayed, forsaken by everyone, falsely accused, shamefully humiliated, mercilessly beaten, violently crucified, and He died all alone. And He did that for us. Jesus did that for you and for me. This is a difficult thing for us to grasp the degree of this. It's hard for us to comprehend all the suffering that Jesus went through, because frankly, we can't comprehend all of it. We don't know what it would be like to become sin for others. We don't know what that would be like, especially upon God Himself, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, became sin for us and was rejected by His Father. And we can't comprehend what that was like. And if we've ever endured pain, serious pain, constant pain, ongoing pain, if we've ever endured pain for a length of time, then we may have some concept of the physical pain that Jesus endured. And yet, there was a difference, because our Lord did this willingly for us, to save us, so we would not have to go through that. We endure a lot of pain in this life, but most of the time that we endure pain not for the sake of someone else. I can't imagine someone enduring pain for the sake of someone else. I remember when Christina was attacked by a dog when she was a little girl, and it was killing me that I couldn't do anything about that. That there she was in the hospital being sewn up and crying, and I'm just tore up, and I was thinking to myself, oh, if only it could have been me. If only I could take this away from her. But I couldn't. There was nothing I could do about it. And I don't know what it would be like to just willingly take someone's pain, but that's what Jesus did. He gave up everything for us. And then He left us this amazing memorial, the Lord's Supper, the communion, where we remember the body and blood of our Lord. We remember the suffering of His body and the shedding of His blood to save us from our sins. We remember that, and as we take the Lord's Supper in a few moments, our minds go back to Calvary, but not just to Calvary. They go back to Gethsemane as he suffered and prayed. They go back to the time of His ministry as He helped so many people and yet had to deal with so much rejection by the Jewish leaders and ultimately by the people themselves. We go back in time to that broken body taken down from the cross, prepared and laid in that borrowed tomb and the stone rolled in front of the door. We go back in time to that wonderful resurrection morning when the stone was rolled away by the angels of heaven and Jesus rises from the dead. We go back in time to remember the suffering, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We remember that He did all that for us. And so as we take this bread, we reflect upon the sacrifice of Jesus. And as we drink the cup, we reflect upon the price that Jesus paid to save us, the giving of His lifeblood, so that we would not have to pay for our own sins, so that He could pay for them for us. To illustrate this, I came across something that is quite famous, and I'm sure many of you have heard this story. It's from Paul Harvey, and it's entitled Jesus and the Birdcage. And I would just like to share this with you this morning. Boston preacher Dr. S.D. Gordon placed a beat-up, bent, rusted old birdcage beside his pulpit when he told this story. An unkempt, unwashed little lad about 10 years ago was coming up the alley swinging this old caved-in birdcage with several tiny birds shivering on the floor of it. The compassionate Dr. Gordon asked the boy where he got the birds. He said, he trapped them. Dr. Gordon asked him, what are you going to do with them? Little boy said, I'm going to play with them and have fun with them. And the preacher said, well, sooner or later you're going to get tired of them. Then what are you going to do with them? The lad said, I have some cats at home. They like birds. I'll feed them to my cats. Dr. Gordon said, son, how much do you want for the birds? And the boy, surprised, hesitated and said, mister, you don't want these birds. Well, they're just plain old field birds. They can't even sing, and they're ugly. The preacher said, just tell me, how much do you want? The grubby little lad thought about it. He squinted up one eye. He calculated and hesitated, and he said, $2. To his surprise, Dr. Gordon reached into his pocket, handed the boy two $1 bills, and the preacher took the cage. And the boy, in a wink, hurried up the alley and was gone. In a sheltered crevice between the buildings, Dr. Gordon opened the door of the cage, tapped on the rusty exterior, and encouraged the little birds one at a time to find their way out through the narrow door and to fly away to freedom. Thus, having accounted for the empty cage beside his pulpit, the preacher went on to tell what seemed at first like a separate story about how once upon a time Jesus and the devil had engaged in a negotiation. Satan had boasted how he had baited a trap in Eden's garden and had caught himself a world full of people. What are you going to do with all those people in your cage? Jesus wanted to know. The devil said, I'm going to play with them and tease them, make them marry and divorce, fight and kill one another. I'm going to teach them to throw bombs at one another. I'm going to have fun with them. Jesus said, you can't have fun with them forever. When you get tired of playing with them, what are you going to do? Satan said, damn them. They're no good anyway. Damn them and kill them. Jesus said, how much do you want for them? Satan said, you can't be serious. Why, if I sell them to you, they'll just spit on you. They'll hate you. They'll hit you and beat you. They'll hammer nails into you. They're no good. Jesus said, how much? Satan said, all of your tears and all of your blood. That's the price. And Jesus took the cage and he paid the price and he opened the door. And today we have freedom because Jesus opened the door to our cage and set us free. And we remember him. We remember his sacrifice as we partake of the communion. As we remember him and we reflect upon what he did to save us. As we take the bread and drink the cup, it must mean more. It must mean more than just a weekly ritual. It must mean more to us than simply something that must be done. It must mean everything to us as we look at the memorial that God set up as an everlasting memorial till he come back. But this is a memorial that is for Christians. It is not for those that don't believe in Jesus. It is not for those that do not follow him. It is not for those who have not been born again. This is something that God intends his church to do. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, then this is certainly not something that God has commanded you to do. It is important for anyone to remember Jesus, but it's more important to obey him. And if you've not done that, you need to obey the gospel. You need to become a child of God. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? You know, you don't wait for a feeling. You make a decision. Yes, I believe. I choose to believe. I'm going to believe. There's evidence everywhere. The evidence is all around us that he is the Son of God. Yes, I believe he is the Son of God. I will believe enough that I will repent. I will turn away from my sin and I will confess the sweet name of Jesus. I will be baptized in water for the forgiveness of my sins. That's what I will do because that's what Jesus told me to do. If you've not done that, you need to do that. But it starts with believing in Jesus. You have to believe. you choose to believe. If you've already done that, but you've allowed sin to come back in, you've allowed yourself to be trapped again, God offers you freedom. All you have to do is turn back to Him, repent, turn away from sin, commit yourself to serve God. Confess to God that you've sinned, you've done wrong, and ask Him to forgive you. Whatever your need, if we can help you today, remember Jesus. Remember what He did. And then come to Him if you need to, as together we stand and sing.